Hello,
and thank you so much for tuning in to Building Godly and Healthy Relationships live radio broadcast. I am your host, Pastor Star Williams, and I am so excited to be here again for another week of Walking in Wisdom with Pastor Star. And these last few episodes and the ones to come for the next month, we are focusing in on attaining the wisdom of the Lord. And by wisdom, we live, we move, we have our being. And it says that wisdom protects us, it guards us, it keeps us, it gives us discipline, it gives us insight, it gives us a prudent life to do what's right, just, and fair. And so I just want to continue to talk about that. I believe if ever we live in a day now that we need the wisdom of God, and that's really just the mind of God. And it's, you know, if we want to really be holy as Christians, then we need to know the mind of God. We need to have the heart of God, because the word says that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And so we want to see him. We want to experience his life, his everlasting life. And we don't just want to just live here aimlessly on earth, but we really want to live with purpose. We want to live with intent. We want to live as if the word of God is true. And so I love Solomon is one of, you know, the book of Proverbs is obviously one of the, is the premier book on wisdom. It's like wisdom compacted in a nutshell and little nuggets that say so much. It has so much revelation within them. And so we're going to just go throughout not only Proverbs, but also other books in the Word of God. And we know that Ecclesiastes was written by Song of Solomon as well. And he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 11, he says of wisdom, that wisdom is like an inheritance. It's like if someone left you, you know, something, like if you have like a really rich relative and they leave you as their heir, if they leave you an inheritance, they leave you wealth. They pass on to you like wealth, and they pass on to you things of value monetarily, materially. They pass on to you something that is of wealth, that is very valuable, and because you're in the heir to receive that. So wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing, okay? It's like an inheritance, and it's good, and it benefits those who see the sun. So in other words, wisdom is important here and now while we are here on earth. We need to receive the wisdom of God while we have breath in our lungs. And it goes on to say in verse 12, wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this: the wisdom preserves the life of its possessor. So wisdom will preserve our life. It will keep our life. It will give us, you know, prolong our life. In verse 19, it says that, and this is so powerful. I love, this is a very good one. I really like this one. In verse 19, it says, wisdom makes one wise man more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. Think about that. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 19. Wisdom makes one wise man more powerful than rulers in a city. And after, so let's now look at Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 19 and 8. We're talking about the wisdom of God. There's nothing like knowing God's will and then doing it his will. Nothing like walking, having his mindset, doing things like he desires. So Proverbs 19, verse 8. By the way, I'm broadcasting live from Europe, right here in the heart of England, or right here in the heart of London, England. So glad that you can join me as I minister around the world in the gospel of Jesus Christ and just minister right here to you, right in the privacy of your home or car or wherever you are. And as we go to the Word of God, and we have over 100 recorded episodes that you can go back and listen to and be encouraged in God's Word as we build godly and healthy relationships. So Proverbs chapter 19, verse 8. Okay, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 8. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. Wow, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. That's so true. Our soul is it's the unseen part of who we are. It's really the true nature of who we are. We see the outward physical man, but really the soul and our spirit is really the true person. So if we get wisdom, we love our soul. And then it says, he who cherishes understanding prospers. You want to know the key to prosperity? Cherish understanding. Cherish and value God's way of doing and being right. So wisdom, we love wisdom, then we cherish our own soul. I really enjoyed the past few episodes really looking at the book of Job. And we can go and review that once more, and then we're going to kind of move on from there. But Job, one of Job's friends, he was the last to speak on Job's matter and his issues that he was having. But Elihu spoke with such wisdom. And Elihu's name actually means, my God is God. And so he waited till he was actually the youngest of Job's friend. He was a youth. So he waited till all the other three elders spoke. And then he kind of sort of set them straight, you know, in a way. And he actually spoke with the wisdom of God. And we see that after Elihu spoke, then God actually spoke. So he sort of prepared the way as a prophet, so to speak, for God to speak directly to Job and to kind of confirm, you know, what Elihu had said. But we see this dialogue with Elihu in Job chapter 32, 33, 34, 35, 36. And I encouraged you last time just to read these because it's so insightful on the wisdom of God. But I want to just kind of review a little bit here, and then we'll move on and see what else the Lord would have for us to talk about. But this is such an important topic. I believe that if we can know God's way, then we can save ourselves so much unnecessary trouble in life, you know. If we just kind of know what is God, sometimes we're like, what is the will of God? What am I to do, practically speaking, you know? Wisdom is so practical, you know? It's like, it's just practical. It's, you know, it doesn't get any more simpler than Proverbs. I mean, it breaks it down, everything we need to know about life and what God would do and what Jesus would desire for us to do. It breaks it down to the sort of the nitty-gritty. You can apply it. You can read it and say, okay, I know what to do in this area. I know what to do in that area. So, Job. Job chapter 32, Elihu is speaking, and he's talking about in verse 7, that we found out that it's not necessarily a matter of age that brings wisdom, but it's really the Spirit of God. And he said, he confirms that in Job 32, verse 18. He says, I am full of words, and the Spirit within me compels me. So we see that it's the Spirit of God that brings the wisdom of God. And Job 33, verse 4, the Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. And so we see that that is God's Spirit. It's not necessarily, you can have a young person who is wise. Have you ever met someone who's young and they're just so wise? It's like, wow, that person, they're just so full of wisdom. They're so mature, even as a young person. Or so you can, it's something that we can actually receive at any age. It's not just for when we get older, we have to wait until we're at a certain age where we can walk in the wisdom of God. No, God wants us, every youth, every child, to walk in his wisdom now so that we can prevent, you know, so much unnecessary wrong turns in life, when we can just know what God has desired and then walk in it. Thank you. So we can go ahead, if you can kind of look over those chapters a little bit. And I want us to look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We'll hold our place there in Job. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously and without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So when we need the wisdom of God, all we need to do is ask God, and he's going to give it. He's going to show us the direction. He's going to give us the revelation. He's going to give us the insight in the matter. And everything that God tells us is going to be found in the Word of God. Nothing he says, he speaks to us, will contradict his written word. We will be able to go and we'll find it, and we'll be able to find his in his word. That's why we have to have his word in our heart and have it written on our heart so that, you know, so that it will lead and it will guide us into all truth. Let's look at Joshua, the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. You know, everything, anything that there's no problem or in no, nothing in our life that God will not direct us, or he will not speak to us, or he will not give us practical wisdom on how to solve. So he told Joshua, he said in Joshua chapter 1, he told him to not let the book of the law or his wisdom or his instructions to depart from his mouth, but meditate on it day and night, so that Joshua would be careful to do everything written in it, and that Joshua would be prosperous and successful. And so we see that when God's wisdom comes, it gives us success, it gives us prosperity, as we read in Proverbs 19 and 8. It prolongs our life, as we read in Ecclesiastes 7. It guards our soul, it enriches our soul. Now I want us to look at another scripture here. And it's actually where we'll look in 1 Kings 3, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1. And it's, we know that Solomon was one of the richest, most prosperous, wisest, rulers to live upon the earth. And I want us to look at a very important scripture that really kind of was the beginning of him walking in this prosperity. And it's in 1 Kings chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 1. So it says, Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because a temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Now think about that. What if God asked you that? What do you want? Anything, I'll give it to you. What would be your reply? Well, let's look and find out what Solomon's reply was. Solomon answered, verse 6, we're in 1 Kings chapter 3. You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in the heart. You have continued this great kindness to me and have given me a son to sit on this throne this very day. Now, O Lord, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or to number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased with Solomon that he asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment. Another translation there, it says for wisdom or guidance in administering justice. I will do what you have asked, and I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. I love that. Moreover, I will give you what you have asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. Think about it. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you long life. Then Solomon woke up, and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, sacrificed burnt offerings, fellowship offerings, and he gave a feast for his court. So there is such a powerful thing, as we read in James 1, asking for wisdom, asking for God's guidance, asking for his protection, asking for his discernment. That pleases him so much. So many times we seek the riches or honor or a long life or, you know, as it says here, the death of our enemies. God's just wanting us to ask for his wisdom. His wisdom. And I love it that he told Solomon, he says, there will be no one like you, nor will there ever be. And that is so the truth. There has never been anyone like King Solomon. And because he walked in the discerning and the wisdom and the knowledge and the revelation of God's ways, and he obeyed God's ways. And as long as he did, God prospered him. And it says that, I love that, it says that you will have no equal among kings. And I believe God is wanting that. He is wanting to raise up a generation in this nation and in this world where instead of us, that because we know God, because we walk in the wisdom of God, there is no equal to us among kings. Think about that. So powerful. But that's the benefit of wisdom. That is the benefit of wisdom. It says in Proverbs 22 and 29, it says, do you see someone skilled in their work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. So wisdom will elevate you. It will promote you. It will bring you riches, wealth, honor. If you are just tuning in, you're listening to Building Godly and Healthy Relationships live radio broadcast. I'm host Pastor Star Williams, and we're talking about walking in the wisdom of God. I've been so excited about this topic because it is so full of just insight and revelation, and it's just, I believe it's such a necessary message for us and for the body of Christ today, just the wisdom of God and being wise. God would not place such a wonderful book of Proverbs in the Word and then all throughout, you know, give us his instructions if it wasn't, if he really didn't want us to have sort of uncommon sense. You know, you have common sense and then you have uncommon sense. And the uncommon sense is really faith. It's produced, it's motivated primarily, solely by faith in God. That is the wisdom of God. It's by faith in God. And common sense is just, you know, faith in yourself or in the world system or in people. But the wisdom, the Proverbs of God is based on faith and trust in God. So I'm going to save the last few minutes to open this. I have a guest here I'd love to share with you and just get her insight. My mom, Dr. Gwyneth Williams, and she's going to just share. Really, I would like just to ask you, how has wisdom really impacted your life? And we're actually going off the air, but you can continue listening to this for the next 10 minutes or so online at Blog Talk Radio, BGHR. So, Mom, Dr. Gwyneth, tell me, what is your insight? How has wisdom impacted your life, and what would you say to this generation regarding the importance of wisdom?
I think that with wisdom comes prudence. And there was a great man, and that was William Seymour. And it was said that he did not understand two things, and that was the wisdom and the knowledge of what God was doing in his life at that time, which you think about that, and you wonder how many of us go through life not understanding our divine purpose or having the wisdom of God to be able to carry out the directives and the direction that he is calling us to. And I think when we understand the wisdom of God and when we understand our divine purpose for what we're to do on earth and the wisdom in everything that we do, it may be as simple as taking care of a garden or taking care of your own self, using the wisdom to be able to come against the tactics of the enemy. God has given us, actually, it's a gift, and God is saying if we ask for that wisdom, then he will be able to give it to us. And I love when he said that he will give it to us generously to all without finding fault. And he says, and it will be given to him. But when he asked, you must believe and not doubt. And that goes back when you're trying to do something, you know, you have to believe and not doubt. You know, I even think of one of the great scientists, most of them, you know, even with Einstein and those that created different things, they asked for the wisdom of God, but when it didn't work, they didn't doubt it. So when God has called you something to do something for him, and I'm all about kingdom, that everything that we do and the wisdom we have should be to build the kingdom of God, but even to be able to make it through here on earth for the natural things that God gives us. We can't doubt, you know, even when we think about even the creation of light, wonder if he would have doubted. But over and over and over and over, he tried. So you can even look at sometimes that insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. But sometimes wisdom is doing the same thing over and over and having faith to believe God is going to bring you through it. And so, and he's going to show you how to do it. But it says here in the scripture, but you can't doubt because you have to believe when God gives it to you that is going to be given, and you have to believe and not doubt, because if you doubt, it's like, and this is the part we don't realize, it's like a wave in the sea that's blown and tossed by the wind, that man should not think he will receive anything, because then you're double-minded and unstable in all your ways. And that whole scripture is based on you asking for the will, for the wisdom of God, and receiving the wisdom, believing you have it, and not doubting. So when you ask God for wisdom in your situation today as we close, and in your circumstances, God, what do I do? How do I do it? God, give me wisdom. Give me your mind. I want to be wise in this. And, you know, when God, when you ask, he said he's going to give it to you on what to do, but you have to listen and believe. So back to, I understand with Seymour, he didn't have the knowledge and the wisdom to know that he was actually making and walking out history. So the question to you would be, you know, what have you asked God for to show you in the wisdom? And have you not doubted that? Have you doubted it to be able to bring it to the fullness? Because if you're double-minded and if you're wavering, you're just like the scripture says, like being tossed into the sea. So, and you can't receive anything. And I really believe that God has so many things, even from the natural perspective, for the body of Christ. Don't you think he wants some Bill Gates and some Warren Buffetts and some, you know, Ben Franklins and Einsteins in the body of Christ? If they asked for wisdom, they failed in many things, but they kept on trying, and God gave them the. So it's not the to be wise and prudent. It's really for the body of Christ. And so that would be to be my prayer. And even as Solomon, he didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for long life. He just wanted to wisdom on how to govern the things in the natural as well as in the spiritual. And I cannot help but to close with this as I pass it on to the next person. But even the Bible says those that win souls are wise, and that's the greatest wisdom that we can have while we're on earth, is how can we be efficient and effective for these 120 years we're here on this planet to win those people that do not know Christ and do not have relationship with him.
Amen.
And we have one more. One more reply to our message on wisdom. But while they're preparing, I just want to share this quote by Albert Einstein. Speaking of Albert Einstein on wisdom, and he said, "Wisdom is not a product of schooling, but of the lifelong attempt to acquire it." Think about it. Wisdom is not the product of schooling or education, but it's the lifelong attempt to acquire it. In other words, wisdom is basically, according to James 1 and 5, when we ask of God and God gives it to us freely. And that's how wisdom comes. So wisdom isn't just something you don't have to be you have to be super intelligent or have this super high IQ, or you know, there's an IQ in the world standard and then there's an IQ in the kingdom standard. And the IQ in the kingdom standard comes from the wisdom of God. And that is the wisdom that God desires for us. You know, he talks about in Scripture that there's a wisdom that is of this world, and there is a wisdom that is from heaven. Mm-hmm. And God wants us to have the wisdom that comes from heaven. And that's just, you can flip over two chapters to James chapter 3, and that's where it talks about the wisdom that comes from heaven. And it says in James chapter 3, as we wind up in the last few minutes to close, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done, in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy, selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom," see, that's like a worldly wisdom, "does not come from heaven, but is earthly, it's unspiritual, and it's of the devil. For where you have envy and strife and selfish ambition, there you have disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is what? First pure, then peace-loving, and considerate, and submissive, and full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial, it's sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." That's so powerful. So there is a wisdom that comes from God, and God wants us to have his wisdom, his knowledge, that you have it spelled out right there. And, of course, you see wisdom completely personified in the person of Jesus Christ. And so I hope that you are enjoying this as much as I am, just looking in the Word of God and receiving, being encouraged by his Word, receiving his wisdom, receiving his knowledge, acquiring it, and you know, having that. It's not just about intelligence. Anyone can ask God and say, "Lord, I need your wisdom. show me what to do. Show me how to live life. Show me the higher way. There's a higher ground. There's a lower ground. I remember when I was in corporate America, my manager, you know, because we worked a lot on our own, and we didn't go into office, and so we would work like in our, you know, like out of our office was actually out of our home, and we had a lot of independent time, and so we had to make a lot. It was like having our own small, like our own small business in a way, and so we had to, sometimes we had to make a lot of decisions that we didn't really have a supervisor there standing over our shoulders where we could ask, and she would always tell us, you know, in those situations, always take the higher road and you'll be fine. You know, always choose the best path. And I think that's so important with just living with that integrity. It's just take the high road. Take the high road. Don't take the low road in life. And I believe that that high road, that road is called wisdom, Wisdom Avenue, you know. And it's paved with God's instructions and his teachings and his directions. And so that is the way that leads to long life. We don't have to seek long life. We don't have to strive after it. We don't have to strive after riches or prosperity or promotion, because it comes from God. And that also is in Proverbs. You know, promotion doesn't come from the south or the east or the west, but promotion comes from the Lord, and we don't have to strive after, you know, prominence. We can just be like Solomon and say, Lord, give me wisdom to do my job. Give me wisdom to lead your people. Give me wisdom to have the direction that you desire for me. Give me wisdom so that I may, you know, be a witness on this earth for the time that you've placed me here. Give me wisdom so that I may be a light for you. And all of the other stuff, long life, wealth, prosperity, riches will follow, because it's a product of it. And actually that scripture that I just quoted about promotion is actually in Psalm 75. So it was Psalm 75 and verse 6. So it's actually, one of the Psalms, but it talks about, no one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt a man, but it's God who judges. He brings one down and exalts another. And so we know that if God is the one that promotes, then he's the one that we have to look to. And I just pray that it will be said of you as I close that you shall be, there shall be no one on this earth that can compare to you among kings. And I pray that as God increases your wisdom, that as you draw near to him, that he will increase your wisdom. He will increase your insight, increase your understanding on your purpose, on your destiny, on what he has for you here, that higher road, that abundant life, life abundantly, that he says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And I pray that God would bring a revelation of knowledge and understanding for your life, to know who you are in him, to know your value, to know your royal identity in him, and to take that high road, to choose that better life that God has for you. Lord, I thank you for each person listening, God. And I thank you, Lord, that as they draw nigh unto you, you will draw nigh unto him, nigh unto them. And that if any of us lack wisdom, God, we just simply need to ask of you, and you will freely give it to us. We thank you for being with us during this time. And we just say to you,
success to the kingdom, and success to the kingdom of God.
Amen. God bless you. Bye-bye.